And joining us this morning, Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, John. Robin, how's your morning going?
It's going okay. Thank you for helping us put out the fire here this morning, Randy. It's something you have experience with, but it'll be good to get caught up with the county.
Boy, it sure will be. And of course, first of all, you must feel like a little bit of a gentleman of leisure right now. You have turned over the commission chair responsibilities to Pam Holmquist.
I have, and you know, we annually change leadership there, and it's great to have Pam sitting in that seat.
Next year, Brad Abel gets his shot, I'll bet, huh?
That's pretty likely, yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to give him the pleasure of that opportunity, right?
Yeah, you bet. There's not a lot that goes with that other than running meetings and maybe you sign a few more documents.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see here. We've had lots and lots of openings in the county. We'll talk about a few of these here, but the one that seems to be getting a lot of headlines these days is over at the library, and it seems like we've made a decision over there.
So this is where we are with that right now. We have offered the position to a librarian in a community in Alabama, and she has agreed to move ahead in that process. The library board will be making a selection, I believe, on the 27th. They'll be voting on whether to accept that or not.
And are you, as a commissioner, involved in that process?
You know, the commissioners and the library board are separate. The board, library board, is autonomous. Although we do have budget authority, and we select the trustees on the library board, and then they make their own decisions from there.
Okay, I mean, yeah. In other words, you try to keep all of that just as independent as you can.
Yeah,
right. We do, and that's a great thing. We have a lot of reasons for doing that. We need somebody. We need a group over there, and the trustees on the board do a great job of working through some issues. There's always issues when you're disseminating information.
Sure. Well, boy, we know that.
Yeah,
that's what we do here, disseminate information.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing that everybody seems to be, everybody's got an opinion about books. And my theory is, if you if you don't like a book, don't read it. But some people feel as though books shouldn't be read. And I don't know. Take the option away. There are two books now that are in the library that are being discussed. What can you kind of give us an idea of first of all how all that goes and who makes these decisions?
So the way that process works is when the library receives a complaint, they have a process that they go through that they review the books, both staff and the board, and then they make a decision on whether to keep the books on the shelf or to put the books on the shelf. Where this is right now is I believe they received 12 complaints about a couple different books there. The library review process finished. One of the books is going to remain on the shelves, and the other book, they haven't made a decision on. They're going to look over their policy and see if their policy needs to be changed before they make a decision, and then they will move ahead with what they need to do there.
That's a touchy issue because, we certainly don't want to infringe on people's rights, yet we don't want to put material out there that's... just too far find offensive.
The two books in question both deal with sexuality, I believe. And so alternate choices. So one viewpoint would be, are we promoting them? Or is the information just for those that it's applicable to, I suppose? So that's what makes it so difficult.
Right. We have one copy of each of those books in the library. We have, I believe there is a second one that has been requested, a second copy of one of those books that's been requested. So it's not like we're passing those out on the street. However, they are available in the library, and they are in the adult section, but the adult section is not restricted to adults. Children can check out books there, too. So we have you know, a lot of folks in the community are concerned about it. On both sides of this issue, is it a restriction of information that the library is trying to do? And certainly the Constitution has some things to say about that. The First Amendment that was actually written to Congress about making congressional laws is often interpreted as playing a part in local decisions. I don't know that that has been made really clear in this issue. So there's just a lot of things, and you want to walk through this. It can be a little bit of a minefield. And so if you walk through it and you're not paying attention to what you're doing and you're making sure that you're following the law, you can harm your community, and you can harm the library, you can harm the board.
And the odd thing is, I'm sure these books are readily available via the internet and other sources.
Amazon.
So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I guess if you really want the book, you can go buy it somewhere.
Or you can have a...
Yeah, absolutely. You can have it shipped to your house and have it there next day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it... difficult, because why turn this thing into a firebrand when you don't have to? Just for the sake of let's have an argument. Randy Brodell is our guest. He's our county commissioner. And Randy, we've got some issues with the health board. We've got some budget process. We never stop talking about the budget, and we'll pick that up with you right after this. Our guest this morning is County Commissioner Randy Brodell. Okay, so the health board, we have some new members on the health board, I believe.
We do have some, we have some not necessarily new members on the board, but some folks that have been reappointed, and then we have one new member that has been placed on. There's a whole redistribution of where the candidates come from and who appoints them now, because when we did the new census and we show that Whitefish has more than 5,000, Columbia Falls also is very close to that, then by state law, they have they are required to either have their own health board or join a health board coalition such as the City County Health Department. Both cities have chosen to join the City County Health, Platte County City County Health Board, and so we have new members that are coming on that they have appointed. We have Don Barnhart in Columbia Falls. We have Jessica Mulberg, who has actually been appointed in Whitefish as their representative, but she was on the board, so she's an existing member. The city of Kalispell has appointed Rod Kuntz, and we have appointed Pete Haybor, who is a member that was already on the board, and so we have moved ahead with some changes. We've also reappointed Ronald Lee Skies, who was on the board. So board hasn't seen a big shakeup, but they're on a steep learning curve because of the COVID issues out there. And so they've got a lot to learn, our members that have been there for a long time, because it's changing and it's funding is changing. We're looking at February 1st is going to be our last COVID vaccine clinic at the fairgrounds. And from that point forward, you'll be able to make an appointment and go into the health department to get a vaccine.
And, of course, we are looking now for the possibility of a new health officer. Joe Russell is going to try to retire again in June or July?
Well, we don't know for sure, because what we've done is we've hired what's a lot of times called a headhunter, a company that will go out and look for applicants for us. We've done that. We've gone through that process twice. And so far, we've just been unsuccessful in finding the person that we wanted. Before that, we tried that process ourselves, and it's tough because while there's a whole lot of people that want to move to the Flathead, as you know, costs are going up every day. It's like watching the United States debt clock. is just ticking up every minute.
Yeah. And housing, you know, that's the wild card.
Right.
So I suppose everybody is in the same boat, really, kind of all over the country right now. If I stay put, maybe later, you know, so maybe you can revisit some of the older candidates at some time in the future.
Yeah. Well, that brings us around to the budget process, which it seems to me, in our conversations with former County Administrator Mike Pence, that was a discussion we just always had with him, because it seems like you guys are always somewhere in the budget process. Where do things stand right now?
So, as the county commissioners do their job, we have two main things that we do, and that's public safety and budget. And a lot of other peripheral stuff, but really most everything that we do falls under those. So the budget process is starting right now. All of our departments are putting together the numbers for what the needs are to continue to do an excellent job as they are right now. And we will start next week. The commissioners will meet with Pete Melnick, our county administrator, and we will talk about budget issues and just where the county is going. We'll spend a day in an annual meeting that we have and go over that. And then the agencies will start presenting their budgets to us after they've got feedback from us from that meeting. So we're just in the beginning stages of it.
Do you normally start out with capital budget requests, or do you go with the operational things first?
Generally, we go operational, then we do the CIP or capital improvement plan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you foresee any big capital improvement projects in the next fiscal year?
There's always, because of the infrastructure growth on roads, there's going to be some, I'm sure there's going to be some impacts to that. The fair, because we've had... last year we did great. The year before we had, because we were we didn't have a carnival because of COVID. We had a lot of things change because of COVID. We chose to move ahead of that because it's a great community builder. We'll see some changes in the budget process. So over the last 3 years, our budget has made some big swings. So Sam Nunley has come in on that as the new director at the fair. Mark Campbell's retired, and Sam is doing a great job. He had his second meeting with us yesterday, and just proud to have him there and proud to see where we're going. There's going to be, we haven't disclosed everything that's going on with the fair as far as entertainment, but I think everybody in the community will be really happy with it.
Randy Brodell is our guest, our county commissioner, and you mentioned a new hire. You mentioned Sam Nunley. We have another one to announce, and we'll do that right after this.
Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell bailing us out this morning. We're glad you could join us, Randy. And, we're talking about new hires. I was out for a medical procedure, and while I was gone, John, you told me that the Agency on Aging, our old friend,
yeah,
is going to another city or something. So I guess that means we need a new Agency on Aging director, right, Randy?
We do, and we did until yesterday when we made it official. Carla Diment, who is a program manager inside the organization already, has taken the helm there. Lisa has done just a fantastic job, and she's also been standing right beside Carla as we made this transition. Looking forward to turning the reins over to her. And Lisa had a meeting with us yesterday, and Carla was right by her side, and it's going to be a very smooth transition. Yeah. Lisa is it's an agency that deals with a lot of different moving parts, and this is the right choice. And we're really happy to have Carla there.
And Carla already has a place to live. I mentioned to John, I said...
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I said, if Lisa's living, the new director could buy her house. And he said, no, she's keeping her house.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, everybody
she's
loves...
She's keeping her house. She'll have family living there. So that'll be good.
There you go. And now you mentioned Sam Nunley at the fairgrounds. I guess there's really... nothing else to mention. We expect the carnival to return this year?
Yes, the carnival is on schedule to return. We'll have great entertainment. We'll have a little change up here and there, but really 4-H is growing. 4-H has been growing every single year for, I suspect, at least the last 10 years. They always put on a great display of some very high-quality animals.
And it seems like the auction the last couple of years have done gangbusters with that virtual element as part of it, too. So
yes, I think there's going to be a change up there, too, as we move through this. It looks like we're going to go back to a live auction, and just because we've had some issues with the electronics and some delays that have been caused in there and making it very difficult for that to happen. But I'm not positive about that. We'll see. We're trying to work out the bugs on it. But if we can't, we'll be back to a live auction.
Well, with meatpacking the way it is, John, we want to keep the beef here in Northwest Montana.
We sure do.
Exactly.
Randy, we learned yesterday that Dale Novak from the Mountain Climber Transit is going to retire again. So looks like the hiring process never ends for you guys.
That's pretty much it. You know, we had about 80-plus openings in the Flathead, in all the Flathead offices just a few months ago. We're down to about 60 now. But we keep having people kind of get to a point where it's time to retire, and Dale came back, like Joe Russell. Dale came back out of retirement. We brought him back in to bring the Mountain Climber through the issues we were dealing with COVID and masking and all the issues there. Dale has done a phenomenal job of getting us back where we need to be, and now he's decided to slip back into retirement. He has been he has stepped up to the plate at every turn of the wheel here and been very happy to be part of the Mountain Climber and how it's moved ahead.
Well, he has also been very complimentary of the commissioners, too, standing behind him in his efforts to get the new app done, and that was a complicated process, and you guys stood behind him and made that happen, too.
Yeah, the app is working well, and basically that's you get the app and you dial in, you set your ride up, and they come pick you up, and you know right away when they're going to be there, what the schedule is going to look like, and you can make changes on the app, and a pretty smooth process.
It sure is. Randy, as always, we appreciate the fact that you're there working for us at the county, and thank you for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you, John and Robin. You guys have a great day.
Same to you.
Thanks, Randy.